The real genius of Macintosh, Apple's newest personal computer, isn't its 32-bit microprocessor, or that it captures the power of a mainframe on a board 10 by 10 inches, or even that it costs half as much as computers half as powerful. The real genius of Macintosh is that you don't have to be a genius to use it. Macintosh, the computer for the rest of us.
Hello, and welcome to the Coolcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's back from Italy, and from now on, he's only wearing togas. And I do mean only. Leander Caney is here.
Hey, buongiorno.
Arriba Gerci. Also joining us, his likes include aromatic beard oils, going shirtless, and manning Cult of Mac's news desk. Buster Chayne is here. Hey, Buster.
Hey.
You like togas too.
Yeah, togas are cool.
They're like the ultimate.
I like the breeze from them.
That's what Leander was saying. He's like, it's a great breeze. I'm like, you know you're supposed to be wearing something under those, right?
it's like a Scotsman. Never wear something under those.
when in Rome. So we called Leander on a whim just to see if... we thought you were still in Italy, like we said, Leander. And we were just going to bug you while you were still on your vacation. But
you're going to leave some voicemails for me?
Yeah. We were just going to be like, where are you in Italy? But then you answered and you said you've been back for like 2 weeks.
Two days.
So, and you're not feeling super great, right? But
no, I got
what a trooper you are.
Yeah, the jet lag. The jet lag's killing me. I thought actually it was going to be really easy coming back this way because it was a killer going there.
Yeah.
But then coming back, you know, I can't sleep on the plane because I'm too terrified. But, you know, when you get back, I stayed up all night. I went to bed at like midnight. But then I woke up at like 3 and I haven't had a decent night's sleep all week. And in fact, I felt worse and worse today. Now I got a cold and I feel all run down and really bad.
Did you ever get scared of flying before you and I had that conversation about that flying experience that I had on the way to Vegas?
Oh, I've always been terrified of flying. And actually, okay. I got the some anti-anxiety pills from the doctor for this trip.
Did they help?
Yeah. In fact, they did. So
you're like, woo, I love flying. I'm just being all obnoxious on the flight.
I was hoping for that, but they don't. They're supposed to be narcotic. They're supposed to be, habit forming if you keep taking them.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, oh, yeah, cool. All right. I'm going to take about 4 and then I'm going to have a couple of drinks, which is exactly what I did. But no, I didn't feel any, I felt a little bit drowsy.
Yeah.
And I blinked out for like 30 seconds or a minute, I had like a 2-minute power nap.
Uh-huh.
But then the rest of the time I felt just kind of strangely normal. But there was absolutely, you know, even, but when the turbulence hit and the thing was like plunging 400 feet in the air and I thought, you know, everyone else is white knuckled. I'm just sitting there like, yeah, well, you know, where's my magazine?
You're just sitting there trying to drink your drink?
Yeah. It's spilling, yeah, everywhere. And I was completely, you know, unconcerned. It was really strange because you feel exactly the same. You don't feel any narcotic effect. You just are not scared.
Did you have a lot of turbulence on your flight?
No, it actually wasn't too bad. It was
okay. Fine. Oh, man. I know. Sometimes flying from the West Coast to Europe, you hit pockets of turbulence where you drop like 400 feet, just like you say, and that truly is the worst. Like, I don't mind a little shaking. It's when you drop fast that I hate.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I hated all of it. Even the tiny, like, you know how the engine changes when you take off?
Yes.
And also when you come into, when they change the coming to land.
Yes.
You know, like 10 minutes before, there's a tiny, almost imperceptible change in the engine.
Yeah.
But I'm so attuned to it that it would send a stab of adrenaline through my heart. And like, I would just be, you know, almost rigid with fear.
Just gripping your hand grips as tightly as possible.
The tiniest thing, like, you know, every time the stewardess like whacked the cart into someone's seat 20 rows back, you know, it would be like, oh my God, there's a bit of the tail just fell off or something like that. I would be so tense the whole way that... thing was truly a horrible, horrible nightmare. And then my brother turned me onto this. He's like, yeah, you can get a prescription of anti-anxiety pills from the doctor. So,
you know, I laugh because that's the exact same way I am when I'm flying. And especially if you're in headwinds or something, because, you know, the engines will constantly modify their speed depending on how much wind is hitting the plane. So sometimes the engines will be like, and anytime that happens in my mind, I'm saying there's something wrong with the engine.
Right.
You know, like the pilot is up there freaking out. He's trying to figure out how to keep us in the air. There's obviously something wrong here.
Yeah.
And then you look across, like the guy next to you is like half asleep. The guy next to him is reading his Kindle. And I'm the only one sweating.
Well, it's just like the Twilight Zone, isn't it? You know, when the guy sees the gremlin, and everyone else is completely oblivious to, the obvious, the impending disaster that's about to happen in the second year. The only one is clued into it.
And remarkably, the pilot was able to save us, because surely there was something wrong with the plane that day. Right. And yet he was able to regain control of the plane and land us safely, even though the engines were obviously not working.
Well, have you ever tuned into Channel 9? Someone said that's a really good thing to do as well.
Tune into Channel 9 and
it's
like...
apparently it's and I've never done this, so I don't know how you do it, but you can apparently listen to the cockpit communication.
Can you really?
Yeah, or you used to be able to anyway. Now I'm thinking about, like, how do you do that? But there's, I remember Robert Scoble, Scoble was talking about this years ago. Like, he was always terrified of flying, and then he discovered, like, and this is what he called his first, when he was at Microsoft, they had a series of blogs, and they call it Channel 9, because it's supposed to be sort of like the back chatter at Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And it was based upon this thing, where you could listen to the pilot communication. And apparently it's supposed to be really calming because, you can hear that, like, the pilot is kind of a black box, isn't it? You hear from the guy maybe like, "Yo, welcome aboard," and he says a little bit about the flight, and then you don't hear any more from him.
Yeah.
You're like, "Are those guys awake? Are they, are they doing their job?" But if you listen in on the, you can hear them talking constantly to the ground control.
That would be really reassuring, I think.
Right, yeah. So that's supposed to be a really good thing to do. But now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, I wonder if you can still do that.
And I wonder if they would let you because of all the terrorism stuff,
Yeah, maybe they turned that off. Maybe that's true.
Because I just wish the pilot would come on and just say, because, they're used to that kind of stuff, like turbulence. And so they don't think anything of it, I bet. And meanwhile, all the rest of us are like in the back of the plane, soiling our shorts. I wish he would just come on and be like, "Oh, folks, this turbulence is normal and you have nothing to worry about," and then I would feel a lot better. Or we're gonna go ahead and lean over and kiss your ass goodbye. We're going down. Not
well, the good ones do that. They do the pilot on the flight I just took from Italy said exactly that. We're gonna hit some turbulence, it's gonna be for about 10 minutes and then we'll be through it. And I was like, okay, 10 minutes of terror? Fine.
10 minutes. I can handle 10 minutes. Let me go put on my disposable diaper, and I'm ready to go. You know what would be? You'd be listening to the pilot chatter, and he'd be like, I'm buckling my parachutes. leaving the plane, like he would know people were listening to it. Trying to psych you out.
If you see me, if you see a parachute on the port hand, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Just remain in your seats.
Yeah, that'd be so not funny. Once they get above 10,000 feet, I don't actually think they're supposed to talk about anything except for the flight. So they're not supposed to have conversations. They're not supposed to be like talking about their days or how bad their relationship is with their wife or anything like that. They're just supposed to talk about the actual flight stuff.
Well, I'd love to see it return to the old days when the captain actually comes down and walks down the aisle and says hi to everybody.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
I bet because of security limitations they can't do that. But that would be totally great. Like, I'd love to see a return to that. And then did you hear about that? I think it was Lithuanian pilot who was arrested in Norway for being drunk as he was about to get on the plane. He was 8 times over the limit.
8 times.
This is the co-pilot, and apparently the pilot too. He was twice over the limit.
Only twice. Okay. Let that guy fly.
Yeah, but the guy was 8 times over. He drank 2 bottles of whiskey.
Dude, that is crazy. That's crazy. And they were probably having that, like, the conversation, where you're trying to figure out who's the least drunk. So who's going to be driving the plane? Right. It's like, well, I've already had 2 bottles. You only had 1. Yeah. You need to drive. Right. He's like, okay, duh. That's Russian. That's not Lithuanian. All right. Well, we actually have a lot of Apple stories to talk about this week. Plus, I do want to hear, Leander, I want to hear you share a little bit about your Italian trip. And Buster lost another Apple Watch. He's going to be sharing that story with us. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that. It's Buster. We'll also be talking about some new evidence that Apple may be closer to an Apple car than we previously thought. We got some new tests that show the 6S body will be much less prone to bending than the iPhone 6. I thought these were really interesting, actually. And we pretty much have gotten confirmation now. The iPad Pro is real and is probably launching sometime soon. We'll talk about this story. To me, it pretty much confirms it. I mean, we're getting close to when Apple's is gonna start launching their new products. And so now's the time when we start seeing leaks. And the leaks are coming hot and heavy now. Before we continue, I want to say thanks to Automatic for supporting this episode. Automatic is your smart driving assistant. Here's how it works. You plug Automatic into your car's data port, and with their iOS app, you'll be able to find your car wherever it's parked, learn how much fuel you're using, and learn how to save fuel based on tips on your actual driving habits, and even diagnose and turn off your car's check engine light if you have a problem. Plus, the adapter will trip at you when you accelerate too fast or brake too hard or drive too fast, Leander. And these notifications have helped me actually change my driving habits. So I burn gas more efficiently and save a bunch of money over the course of the year. Check it out. See it in action. Head on over to automatic.com/cult and you can save 20% off your new Automatic link adapter. And the app is free. I also want to thank Casper for supporting this episode. Casper mattresses are obsessively engineered, American-made, and are available at a shockingly fair price. So let me tell you a quick story. Some of you may have heard this. I bought my mattress not so long ago. And when I went in there, I think I bought it from Macy's or Sleep Country or something. And I paid around $1,200 for a pretty nice mattress, for a queen size mattress. And it was comfortable, but it ended up being not comfortable enough. And I had to add a memory foam pad, which I paid another $100 for. And now it's pretty comfortable. But Casper mattresses combine these technologies in one mattress. You don't have to spend additional money. You get a latex foam and memory foam combined mattress, and they have adjusted to make it just right. So they have just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce, no matter how you sleep. And they're not super hot. That's people's complaint with memory foam mattresses. And I think the thing that impresses me most about Casper mattresses is go online to Amazon, go to Casper's website, and read the reviews. Just read the reviews. People love Casper mattresses. They have consistently very high reviews, 4.5 out of 5 stars, virtually everywhere I've seen them. And people love them. And another great thing is Casper will send you a mattress and let you try it out for free for 100 days. And if you're not happy, they'll even come pick it back up, no risk to you. So you can check out and see if you like the Casper mattress and want to stick with it. A lot of people do. And one of the big reasons is they are pretty inexpensive, $500 for a twin size mattress, $950 for a king size mattress, which is less than what I paid. Head on over to casper.com/cultcast and you'll get $50 towards any mattress purchase. That's casper.com/cultcast. I want to thank Casper for supporting this episode. All right, Leander, tell us a story from Italia. You've been gone for 3 weeks. Did you do anything cool, or was it just a nightmare the entire time? Traffic, screaming kids, screaming wife.
That's about it. Yeah, it was like it was an endurance ordeal of how many churches and museums and ancient archaeological sites we could visit in a day.
So Tracy tries to pack them in as much as she can.
Oh my goodness, she wants to see absolutely everything on the checklist. Yeah, top 100 things to do in Rome in a day, you know. And it's the kids were in total rebellion. They were like, that's it, we're not going out. Yeah, I can't bear to see another church.
After you see 3 or 4, they do kind of become boring, especially if you're like 15.
Yeah, right. Well, especially if you're 15. I didn't appreciate it either. I remembered because I went there as a teenager and I had to do exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know, the size of some of them. I mean, you know, St. Mark's is just so huge. I thought it would, like, impress anybody. Plus, we got to walk up, you know, we walked around the dome, and that's absolutely terrifying.
Wait, which dome? Which dome?
We did it in Florence at the Duomo.
They let you walk around the dome?
Yeah, and it's a walkway on the inside. And you can't really see it from the ground, unless you, you know, train your binoculars up there. But it's a rickety old walkway around the inside of the dome, and it's, you know, I don't know how high off the ground, but it's absolutely and utterly terrifying.
Did you go to that park that is on the other side of the dome and look down at the city?
Which were in Florence?
Yeah, in Florence. I don't even remember the name of the park.
Oh, right. Yeah, Piazza Michelangelo. Yes.
With all the names carved in like the handrails overlooking the city?
I didn't see any names carved in the handrails.
I was going to see if you saw my name, but never mind.
I must have missed it, yeah. They clean it all up. I mean, they it's like in Paris. They're taking down all the locks and, that kind of thing. So, graffiti, but there's graffiti everywhere.
I know there's graffiti. I think people who have not been to Italy before will be surprised how much graffiti there is.
It's all over the trains. It's just like New York in the 80s and the 70s.
Crazy amounts of graffiti. And did you do anything cool, Andrew? Name one thing. You were there for 3 weeks. You had to have done something fun.
We went to the library in Florence, which is supposed to have which has a cafeteria with a great view of the Duomo, the back of the Duomo. Mm-hmm. So we're going to the library, and so Olin disappears. And I go looking for him, and then I see him. He's sitting at the front in a chair, and he's reading a book. And I'm like, "What are you reading?" You know, it's everything's in Italian, right? So he lifts it up, and it's Cult of Mac. Il Culto di Marco.
Oh, sweet.
No way.
I was like, what? Where'd you find that? And he points, and it was right at the front of the library. There's a big display there of all these books, and front and center was the Cult of Mac book.
That is so great. Was it written in Italian?
Yeah, Il Culto di Marco.
Was it in the El Giveaway Palio?
No, it was one of the prime books. Yeah, one of the most checked out books.
It was in the most checked out books section, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was on a thing. I got a couple of pictures. I'll send.
You should totally post those. That would be. I want to see those. And so the language was actually localized and everything.
Well, it was translated years ago, but you know, this is like, I don't know, 10 years old now. That book. So
yeah.
You know, I mean, it was all cool. Italy is a great. Great country. I just loved Italy.
I did too, especially Florence. Florence is so beautiful.
Yeah, the only problem is and I hate to say this, but the tourists.
Yes, that is the big problem.
There are too many of us.
Yeah, there really are, especially if you go to Rome in the summertime and you go try to see like the, oh my gosh, the famous painting that everyone, the Mona Lisa, and you'll be like 200 feet back and everyone, especially nowadays, has a camera up in the air trying to take pictures. So you can't even see it.
2,200 feet because it's in Paris.
What's that?
The Mona Lisa's in Paris.
Oh, is it?
It's in the Louvre.
Did I see it at the Louvre? I did see it at the Louvre. My bad. I thought I saw it in Rome.
Yeah, all this Renaissance art.
Well, let me switch my story then. I was looking at the David from like 200 feet away, and everyone's cameras were up in the air, and I was like, I'm just trying to see the David. Get out of my way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it is.
It's an odd, like, you know, everyone's got selfie sticks. Everyone's taking a million pictures.
Oh, no. They have selfie sticks now.
Yeah, they were everywhere. They banned selfie sticks from like the Vatican and from a bunch of other museums.
Yeah, they're not allowed in Disneyland either.
Yeah, good thing. Good riddance. But the selfie stick thing was really weird. I mean, you know, they were really unlike. We saw old ladies with selfie sticks. a bunch of older guys.
Mainstream now.
Yeah, everyone's got them. You know, no matter every age and demographic. I mean, we saw old Middle Eastern guys taking selfies with selfie sticks. It was like,
wow,
aren't you too old for that?
Yeah,
you're never too old for a selfie, Lander.
I guess.
All right, well, Buster, let's save your story for the end so we can actually dive into some Apple news here.
Word.
But let's start with some news. So, Buster Heine, let's talk about Apple Car because you said this week Apple Car. Apple's electric car is real, and it's almost ready for testing.
Yeah, it looks
like it. Are we going to see this thing this year, Buster? Tell me yes.
No, definitely not.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But whatever Apple is working on, they're looking to get like a lot of space to test it out at a super top secret facility near San Francisco.
So is this why you're thinking, okay, they've definitely got something they're ready to start testing because they're looking for testing grounds?
Yeah, they're looking at using the Gomentum station.
That means nothing to me. What is that?
It's like a formal Navy base outside of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And but it's got like everything. It's got, you know, like freeway overpasses, like fake cities and all kinds of stuff. I think there was another car company that was using it for their auto drive. Yeah, Honda for their auto driving tech.
Yeah, so you said it's like a real fake city. So they've just got a bunch of stuff that make it just like driving through a cityscape.
Right.
Interesting. And so, but you got to think if Apple is actually testing a car and it's going to be, you know, self-driving, it still could be quite a long time before we actually ended up seeing this car like in the wild. Because they're obviously just at the beginning stages of, well, maybe not. Maybe they're not at the beginning stages of testing it, but they probably would have a lot of testing to go. Would be my guess.
Oh, yeah, a ton. Absolutely, yeah.
Just to make sure that they don't end up turning on the autopilot and having the Apple car drive run around San Francisco running over people, running amok.
yeah. This is going to be years of testing, right? I mean, how long has Google been testing its self-driving cars?
Forever now.
Like 5 years?
Like. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, do you think that this can mean anything else other than Apple is definitely building an Apple car? Sometimes in my mind, I think, okay, well, maybe they're just building software for a self-driving car.
It's true. That could be a possibility, right? Or some other type of automotive product. But I think they would just want to have full control over the car at one point. Like Jeff Williams said, the car is the ultimate mobile device. So I think they're definitely looking at it.
Leander, if Apple released an Apple car next year, how expensive, what's the price for you where you would actually be like, okay, I'm going to go buy one. And remember, you have to upgrade every year. iCar version 2, it's coming out the next year. So you got to make sure you have enough money to upgrade.
Oh, my. Well, you know, those kind of price ranges, the decision is not mine. It's, you know,
Tracy's.
So I would be begging and pleading. I wanted to buy a used Aston Martin. I was looking at used Aston Martins.
Really? Nice. An Aston Martin? That would be awesome.
Yeah, Johnny Ive car.
Is that what he drives?
Yeah. They're like 50,000.
That's surprising. I thought, for a used one. Okay. I was like, I thought they were like 130, 140. Yeah.
No, about 50K or so. Which is completely ridiculous, but it's kind of fun to look on Craigslist.
And when you get out of it and people look at you, you could be like, Caney, Leander Caney. And everywhere you go, you can order martinis.
Yeah, it'd be fun. It'll be fun. This is a V12, you know, super monster. But anyway, yeah, no, Apple car, I don't know. It is weird, isn't it? This thing is, you know, the Gomentum station is, it's guarded by the military. It's super secretive.
Yeah.
You can't see it, you know, no prying eyes. It's got to be for a car or something.
It's surprising that the military will lease out this track to car companies if this base is so top secret. I mean, not the base is not top secret, but the fact that this whole grounds, they don't want people going in there and looking around.
Yeah.
So it's surprising they would lease it out.
What do they use it for? Do you know, Buster?
I don't think they use it for anything. I think it's just still under the military surveillance.
Is this where, you know, the Mythbusters go and shoot off rockets and stuff like that?
I don't know. Do they do that near San Francisco?
Yeah, there's one. I think that's actually the Alameda Naval Station, though, which is like a, you know, not quite so, isn't so, you know, secure. Mm. Uh-huh. But they use some, I think they've used one, maybe more of the old military bases around here.
Well, let's move on to some iPhone 6S bend testing. Buster, I'm sure you saw these bend test videos.
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Okay, Leon, did you see him?
I just read about it. I didn't see
Okay. Okay, so Unbox Therapy, he's becoming known for destroying iPhones. This guy must spend like thousands of dollars on iPhones every year just to destroy them.
Lewis, yeah. Well, his video was the one that kicked it off in the first place, wasn't it? The whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's sitting at just under 67 million views now. Can you imagine?
How many?
67 million.
Goodness me.
Is that unbelievable? How much does the Super Bowl, how many views does the Super Bowl get? Like 100?
Well, Kane's corner got 7,000.
7,000? Yeah. Oh my God. You should bend something, Leander.
Yeah.
Just start taking things around your office and asking the question, will it bend?
Right.
And see how that does for your traffic.
Well, how much do Beyonce videos get?
Gosh, I don't know. It depends on the video.
Yeah.
I mean, Blurred Lines, didn't that get, isn't that like 500 million views, Buster?
Oh, yeah. The like popular videos, yeah, they get like almost close to a billion, I think.
Yeah, some of them do. It's insane. So, Lewis Helsentager, aka Unbox Therapy, got his hands on, this looks to be a totally legitimate back of an iPhone 6S. Buster, do you have any doubt this thing's legit?
Looks pretty legit.
It looks legit. He got it from Sonny Dixon, who is known to have gotten accurate prototypes in the past. And there's a few interesting things about this video. First of all, he does a bend test. And if you caught our last cult cast, you heard us talk about how Apple, per this prototype that Lewis has, beefed up the area in the phone where it was prone to bending. So Lewis's question was, well, how much, you know, pressure would we have to put on this phone to bend it? And the results, I thought, were quite surprising. So he first puts in the iPhone 6 and bends it, and at about 30 pounds of pressure, it just totally folds in on itself, right? And then he puts in the 6S, does the same test. And Leander, did you catch the number on how much it was?
It was above 80.
Oh, I was gonna ask him to guess.
Oh, stole my thunder. No,
I just wanted to know you were trying to. Yeah, I was totally setting him up. Oh well. Leander, guess.
80.
Oh my god, you're spot on. It's amazing. So that's surprising. It's almost three times as strong as the iPhone 6. And of course, that's with all the internal parts assembled in there. I think once you probably pull the parts in, it's gonna be even beefier. Surprising? No, Buster?
Yeah, I thought it was surprising.
Serious beef up.
And, you know, he actually did like a legit test and got some actual scientific instruments instead of just bending it with his hands, you know?
Yes, like, that's true. Scientific. Okay, so I don't know. So he used a what they call a ZRF analyzer, which actually is scientific, to look at the actual composition of the back, which we'll talk about in a second. But that contraption that he was using to actually bend,
wasn't it a little bit shaky in the video? And you're like, hey, Lewis, you're moving the pressure point all around there, buddy.
Yeah, it was it was pretty haphazard. And he was doing it on top of what looked to be like a postal scale. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's somewhat scientific.
Somewhat.
Yeah, I mean,
much better than the last time he did it, though.
It's definitely better than him just using his hands. Certainly more accurate than
it
that.
It definitely felt harder to bend this one. Yeah.
Yeah. But people in the comments on YouTube were like, yeah, science. And I'm like, look at what he's doing. This is not exactly NASA science that's happening here. Like, it's a postal scale with some totally thrown together contraption that I don't know who built. But it's like the iPhone Bender 3000 machine. The part that I found that was also interesting, so he did do an XRF analyzer test, as I mentioned, which measures the composition. It shoots X-rays through the actual metal itself. And this pretty much determined that indeed Apple is going to be, well, it seems that they're going to be using 7000 series aluminum on the new 6S, which has some attributes that are much better than the 6000 series, which are on your current iPhone 6. So the 7000 series is like your iWatch or your Apple Watch. I'm never going to be able to stop saying iWatch. Mm. Your Apple Watch, it's much harder and it's much stiffer. But he mentioned that it's much more prone to corrosion. And so that's going to be curious when people scratch up their iPhones, as it happens, to see if people start experience a problem with corrosion. Because aluminum
What kind of corrosion? I mean,
I don't know.
Aluminum doesn't corrode, does it? I mean,
it doesn't until they add zinc, which is the extra material they add to the 7000 series aluminum. So you're right. Regular aluminum doesn't corrode very easily. But if you add zinc, apparently that makes it much more prone to corrosion. So if you scratched your iPhone or something like that and you have sweaty palms like many of us do, maybe that you would notice something in your iPhone starting to corrode. I don't know. But he did mention that the anodization process has also been changed, probably because they needed to beef up the anodized layer so that it wouldn't be prone to corrosion without, you know, scratching it or something. So all that said, it looks like we're in for a much more robust iPhone. And as we mentioned last week, if it can pass the Caney test, we know for sure this thing is super beefy. Do you know what the Katie test is, Leander?
Stick it in my back pocket and sit on it. Yeah. Well, you know, my regular iPhone is still flat-ish.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, it's a little bit bent. There was a couple of corners. You know, one of the corners is bent up a little bit.
Is it really? Okay. Well, that's pretty good. In fact, considering it's not, you sit on it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm putting it on the table now and I'm checking it out and it's actually kind of bent.
Oh, is it really?
Well, it lifts off.
Does it rock up and down?
Yeah. And if I press on one corner, the other corner lifts off at like a good millimeter or more.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Well, I didn't even notice until I laid it down on the table.
See, I think this is so amusing. I mean, Apple played it off like this Bendgate thing wasn't a big deal at all, and they showed like those tests that they were doing. But clearly, some people were having problems because you, Buster, and Alex have all had problems with bending.
Yeah.
I haven't because my phone is just too big. I can't keep it in my pocket. I wear it in my fanny pack now, or I carry it in my Merce because I just can't stand sitting down and keeping it in my pocket. Buster, do you keep yours in your pocket when you sit down?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. That's impressive. Truly impressive. We also got a rumor that iPhone might be, or the next iPhone might be unveiled in a new color, which I think some of our Cultcast hosts are going to be happy to hear. Pink, Leander?
My favorite color.
You have been going on and on about this for so long. You're like, if only they would just release the iPhone in my favorite color. And yeah. Here you go. Perfect. So the story as it goes, some photos showed up, as they always do, on a Chinese social media site. And have been spread around like crazy. You might actually have even seen them. But the pink, I thought, actually looked kind of nice. What did you think, Buster?
I didn't think it looked like...
you didn't care for it?
My kind of deal, but yeah, you know. It was a little bit more paler than... I would like a brighter pink, you know, more neon pink. This was a little bit too pastel-y for my tastes, that's all.
I'm definitely not going to get one. Because people will never let me live it down. But I actually did really like the pink color. And I thought it was a really nice shade of pink. I was like, oh, yeah, it's like kind of rosy, but kind of metallic.
Uh-huh.
I think that this thing is going to be popular. Do you think it's real?
No, I don't think it's real.
Really? See, I think it is real. Why don't you think
you do?
Yeah, why don't you think that Apple would release a pink one?
Because it just looked like poop.
Well, the gold one looks terrible. The gold one looks like poop, and they released it. I think the gold one looks so bad. Leon, did you have the gold one?
No, but I've got a gold iPad.
Does it have the white lines going across the back? Oh, no, it doesn't, because it doesn't have the cellular antenna.
Yeah, no, it's just complete. You know, they test all these products for years. They've been making them in, like, about, I think, 40 different colors they've been testing them in. That's what I was told by one of Apple's designers when I was doing the Johnny Ive book. Everything purple, pink, you know, all the colors of the rainbow.
And then they check to see with like a focus group, like which ones people like more?
Well, there's a whole, there's a whole science of color forecasting, right? And it's used a lot by the fashion industry.
Yeah.
Also paint manufacturers, you know, like, and furniture too. So, you know, there are definite trends and there's a whole industry that is devoted to forecasting the hot colors, you know, for the next whatever it is, next season. And I know that Apple has definitely used this. I mean, they used a color forecaster when they came out with the first multicolored iMacs back in, when was that? The late 90s, early 2000s.
How could you possibly forecast a color for the next year? They can't even say like what the weather is going to be tomorrow.
Right.
How could they possibly forecast what people are going to like in a year from now?
Yeah, I don't know. But, in fact, I know that Johnny Ive did that for the 20th anniversary Mac. That was based upon color forecasts.
So, anyway, here's why I think that we're going to see a pink one. Because they got to do something, Buster, I think, since they're going to have the same body style, to get people interested. So it's like, oh, hey, here are all these great new features. They're all kind of like minor updates, you know, better camera, stronger body. And here's a new color. Are you with me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Do you want to make a bet? Should we make a friendly bet?
Oh, you want to make a friendly bet? Not really.
Yeah, actually, I don't either. I was like, we could bet lunch or something, but yeah, it's going to be a while before we can follow through on that one. All right. Well, before we move on to iPad Pro with Force Touch, plenty of pixels, and an optional stylus, I want to say thanks to SoftLayer for supporting this episode. SoftLayer delivers a cloud built to compete. You know, it's funny, SoftLayer is an IBM company, and a lot of people probably don't know what IBM does these days. They used to make computers, but IBM's strategy these days is to hire the most intelligent people that they can find and create services for businesses, help businesses determine how to make their businesses more efficient. And now they have SoftLayer, a cloud built to compete. Your business applications and compute workloads are different from everyone else's, so you deserve cloud resources that meet your unique needs. Some workloads need to scale up and down quickly, and they benefit from virtual servers. Some workloads need the raw power of bare metal or dedicated servers. SoftLayer is one of the only cloud providers that provisions bare metal servers and virtual servers from a single seamless platform, all on demand and all connected to the same open API, and all on their global private network. And actually, SoftLayer was built by IBM to run all of their own products and services. And if you'd like to check out their cloud infrastructure, you can get $500 towards SoftLayer services at softlayer.com/podcast, where you can order bare metal servers, virtual servers, storage, networking, security services in your choice of 24 data centers all around the world. And you can automate and control your cloud infrastructure with a granular API, and you can perform any necessary management actions in their easy-to-use SoftLayer customer portal. Check it out. Head on over to softlayer.com, softlayer.com/podcast to get started with $500 off your cloud services. I want to thank SoftLayer for supporting this episode. Alrighty, let's move on to iPad Pro and why it's all but confirmed, in my opinion, that we're getting this thing this fall. I gotta say, I have for a long time been on the fence that we're actually gonna see this device. But now I kind of feel like it's all but confirmed. Buster, would you disagree?
No, I would not disagree.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited too.
Are you thinking you're going to get an iPad Pro?
Yeah, I think I would totally get an iPad Pro.
I know Leander's going to get one for sure.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's going to be like the 6 Plus for iPads, isn't it? It's gonna, bigger's always better.
You know, I don't know if I agree with that anymore. Well, I mean, my 6 Plus is so big that I am actually considering going smaller next version.
Hmm. Yeah, me too.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because if I have an iPad Pro and an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 6 Plus, that's just almost too much.
It's like, it's just ridiculous. It's just too much device for guys like
I need a little bit more mobility.
Yeah, exactly. For a guy like you, Leander, you can handle that much device. We can't.
I know. You know, it fits in my big roomy dad jean pockets.
I was going to say mom jeans. Buster and I are wearing like the skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's a tough life when you got a 6 Plus in skinny jeans. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, it's like the thing's pressing against your junk or it's trying to come out of your pocket. It's just not comfortable. So here's why I think we're going to see this thing. Ming-Chi Kuo, KGI securities analyst, who's like the preeminent analyst that is almost... Oh, he's more right than virtually everybody else. And he has put out a report saying that indeed the iPad Pro is coming. It's going to have a 12.9-inch screen. It's going to be an evolution rather than a revolution, which I think we all kind of assumed. And it's going to have Force Touch input, which I think we all kind of assumed. But also, the stylus will be sold separately. The more I read about this, the more I think... No, kind of a cool product. I think evolution is definitely the right word. I'm certainly not super excited about an iPad Pro, but Leander, you seem to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. I think I would have to see how well the stylus works first, because every stylus that I've used on an iPad, which by the way, according to I think it was Ming-Chi Kuo, the stylus will work on other iPads as well, but it depends on the version, so it may not work on all of them.
It's all going to be in the software, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be tied to some cool software. because you wouldn't want to use a stylus just to use a regular iPad, would you? To hit buttons and right. you know, open apps and stuff like that. I mean, you know, so what? So it's going to be, you know, I mean, it's going to be used for drawing, right? And
yeah, there has to be some utility that they're going to have to show me that makes me want to use a stylus, because I don't really know many people who are really, you know, demanding a stylus or really are excited about a stylus. Steve Jobs famously said, why would you even want to use a stylus, you know, when you can just use your finger? So they would need to show something that, that illustrates how this would be used. I think it would be really cool for artists. That would be awesome. But the styluses that I've used thus far up until this point all have the same problem. They're all super laggy. The pressure sensitivity hasn't been very accurate. And so maybe they have something up their sleeve with the Force Touch screen where it's going to be remarkably accurate and artists are just going to be crazy for this thing because it's going to be so easy to use as an artist's, like a canvas or something.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any other, you know, everyday stuff. Like it'll be handy for, you know, I don't know, surfing the web or doing spreadsheets or, you know, email. I mean, it's hard to imagine.
Now you sound like PC from the Mac PC ads. Why would you want to do any of those things?
Yeah, true. True. Well, people, but, you know, a lot of people love on Android the, you know, the styluses that come with the Samsung devices.
Yeah. Yeah. And so maybe there are people out there that would like to have a stylus. I mean, stylus when you're painting and drawing, I think are no-brainers, but, I don't know, to use it to like browse the internet, I'm not so sure I would want to do that. But adding to the report, so there's a company called Apsy, and they are an analytic firm, and they have recently done some testing on some web logs, not to be confused with blogs, and they have picked up a device called iPad 6.8 in testing with a screen resolution of about 2700 by 2000 pixels, which matches previous reports regarding the resolution of the larger iPad. So I think it's like, here we go. We're going to have this thing. Do you guys have any doubt we're going to have this thing this fall? If they're already testing it and it's showing up on like server logs?
I hope so. But I try not to get my hopes up on the iPad Pro. It's been such a rumor for such a long time. But I think it definitely will be by the end of the year, probably like October, November.
Yeah, I think so too.
Perfect time for the holidays.
Ming-Chi Kuo says that mass production will begin in September and October. And so if there is a September event, we might see Apple announce the iPad Pro. In fact, I'd be surprised if we didn't see them announce it there. But you probably won't be able to get your hands on it until, you know, October or sometime around then. But it looks like this actually is going to materialize.
Yeah, and if it's a pro device, I mean, they wouldn't want to release it necessarily at the, you know, during the holiday period.
Yeah, why not?
Because holiday stuff is things like it probably not going to be the kind of thing that someone would give for a holiday gift if it's aimed at, you know, business and pro users.
I don't know if it is going to be aimed at business and pro users. I kind of wonder if it will be. I think that maybe they might use it for that purpose, so they might market it in that way. But I think it's probably going to be like the iPad Plus. That actually might even be the name, the iPad Plus. Because then you have the iPad Air, the iPad Plus, and then like the iPad Mini kind of meets like their naming conventions for their other devices.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to market it at people, just regular folks.
Yeah, maybe.
Because iPads are boring now to everyone, right? I mean, the tablet market is doing worse. iPads aren't selling as well as they used to. Mm-hmm. And the consumer market is Apple's biggest market.
Right.
And so they're going to go after consumers, I think.
Huh. Well, I got the feeling that it was going to be like more for work.
Maybe it is. I mean, if they're going to market it like the Surface, that would be really interesting. Especially if they made the stylus work as well as it does on the Surface. Because the Surface stylus, the one I tested, was unbelievably accurate. It was like writing on paper. That's how fast it was.
Huh.
And much, much more accurate than using a stylus on an iPad.
Huh.
So in any case, we won't have to wait super long before we figure out or find out what Apple has up their sleeve. Before we move on to the last story, Buster, why don't you tell us about your Apple Watch story?
It's not even surprising at this point because...
Uh, So a little history for those who may be new to the show. Buster breaks or loses every device he's ever owned. Unfortunately. And this is not the first Apple Watch that you lost, is it?
Well, I got that Apple Watch back. I lost
that's right.
While cliff jumping, and then we found it.
That's right. That's right. Your friend went swimming through the water,
diving,
right?
Yeah. Snorkeling and got it. Well, the exact same thing pretty much happened. I was cliff jumping and I lost my Apple Watch.
And it just came right off your wrist.
Yeah, except I didn't find it this time. It's gone for good.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Which is funny because you don't even wear your Apple Watch that often, do you?
No, but, you know, and the other thing that, you know, on our way back, I was using my iPhone as a flashlight and accidentally dropped it in the lake. So that got broken, too. So for 2 days and a half, I was without any Apple device.
Does your iPhone work now?
I have Apple Care Plus, so I got a new one.
Oh, nice. You just went in there, paid, what is it, $50?
$79, yeah.
$79, and they gave you a brand new iPhone.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. How many times have you done that so far?
I thought I had done it three times already this year, but I think I had only done it twice, so it was still only $79. I was expecting it to be $400, and I was really stressed out, because I was oh.
I know. You don't want to have to buy another one right before the new phones come out.
Exactly, yeah. But now I have a fresh phone to sell right when the new phones come out, because my other phone had a broken screen. So it might work out in my favor, actually.
So you've actually broken enough phones to take full advantage of your Apple Care
plan. Apple Care? Yeah, I think I saved, I don't know, $400 to $500 probably. Maybe each year. I don't know. Possibly.
Do you have Apple Care, Leander?
I do, but not for all my devices. Only the stuff that's probably going to get, you know, busted.
Yeah. I don't carry it on my phone. I probably should, but I'm so super careful with my stuff.
Oh, are you?
I haven't even dropped my 6 Plus.
Really? Not at all?
Maybe I have. I have dropped it on, the carpet, or it might have, fallen off, a really low... bookshelf or something onto like a hardwood floor, but I haven't dropped it walking. I haven't dropped it onto the concrete or anything like that. So it still looks exactly as it did when I got it.
Hmm. I feel like the 6 Plus can be harder to hold, because it's harder to hold one handed. So it's easier.
Yeah, it's like a slippery eel sometimes.
You know,
I mean,
if I'm trying to one hand text it, you're moving your fingers and pop it out.
Yeah, that's true. I think maybe one of the reasons why then that's never happened to me is because I'm always holding it with two hands. Because so unruly to hold. It's funny, you know, that feature they built in where you can double tap the home button to make the screen come down.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever use that?
No, and I hate it.
I have never used it. And in fact, the other day I did it by accident and my whole screen came down. And for a second, I was totally confused as to what I actually
what?
Did. Yeah. Because it's just not a helpful gesture for me. It's kind of awkward to do. And I feel like the 6 Plus is awkward to hold anyway. And so, again, that's why I think next phone, I'm just going to go with the smaller one, I think, and have something I can hold in my pocket.
Are you going to get the 6S?
Maybe. It depends on whether or not they release pink.
Yeah.
Right. Are you on that plan now, though? Are you on the, you know, the EverPlay plan or whatever it is?
No, I'm on the pay full price, have some punk steal it, and go buy another one plan for full price.
Yeah.
I just buy them full price. And actually, it's funny. My last iPhone, I was almost out of storage when I upgraded. So I decided to buy the 128 gig iPhone this time around. And I've probably used 2 gigs for whatever reason. So I have this 128. It feels so wasteful to me to have this iPhone for a year and then upgrade to a new one and go sell it and lose a bunch of money and have all this storage space that I didn't even use the entire time.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it kind of depends on what they end up releasing. You know, I can just live vicariously through you guys if you guys get the 6S.
Right. We can talk about it every week.
Yeah, you can tell me how awesome the camera is and how much you're just loving the pink.
Right.
Okay, let's go ahead and wrap up with this story. I thought this one was kind of fun. Leander, you were talking about Apple's color research earlier and researching colors to put into the next series of devices. This is the kind of thing that I think we don't think about when we go into stores, and yet stores are spending a lot of money to figure out. And this is store psychology. So have you guys ever noticed the screens are at a very specific angle when you go into an Apple store? Buster, actually, why don't you tell us a little bit more about this since you wrote the story?
I didn't write it.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. Well, then I'm actually going to continue then. I'll tell the story. So have you guys noticed that the Apple MacBooks are at a very specific angle when you walk in?
No, I hadn't actually noticed.
I hadn't either.
See, I feel like they're always in disarray because everybody's playing with them.
Me too. But I often, when I go in there, I always go and touch the screen and bend it towards me. Uh-huh. And I never would have thought anything of it. But according to a recent Business Insider article, Apple actually does that very specifically. They want their screens to be angled at exactly 76 degrees. And that is because they, according to the piece, have done their market research. And when people go in there and the screens are at that specific angle, customers will actually reach their hands down and adjust the screen so that it's at a different angle, you know, and they can look at it better. And I don't know what the magic is about 76 degrees, but I always touch the screens when I go in there, and I don't know if this is why.
Well, I don't think Apple ever had a problem with getting people to touch the products in the stores. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that you always notice, that you go in and people are always holding up the MacBooks up in the air, and they're seeing how light they are and how thin they are, and they're always touching the iPhones, obviously, and the iPads. You know, I mean, even you can see people caressing iMacs. And looking at him and checking him out.
Caressing?
Yeah.
What's your Apple store like? Oh, yeah.
I think caressing is the right word. I mean, going all the way, you know, like, you know, they do caress the machines, I think. And they're very, very, you know, they've always been very, the finishes are so nice. They're so precise. The materials they use are very sensual.
Sensual, okay.
People touch them. I mean, I don't think Apple's ever had a problem with getting people to touch its stuff.
I don't think they've had a problem, but this is probably one of those little things that they do that gets people to interact just a little bit more. I don't know.
People don't touch it because everyone else has been touching it, and they're all germaphobic.
Well, maybe they're behind you, and they're like, that guy was just caressing it. I don't want to touch it now. Did you see what he was doing to that iMac?
Yeah.
Like, I'm about to call security. But it's interesting to me, more so than the actual position of the screen, is just that you've got to think Apple's probably spending buku bucks trying to figure this kind of stuff out, don't you think? And the psychology of the stores, and not just Apple stores, retail stores everywhere, especially at Christmas time when you're walking through a store and there's very specific smells that are in the air and the way they position packaging on the product. It just, they have a whole industry of people who are trying to figure this stuff out just to get you to spend money when you go into a store. Have you guys ever gone into a store thinking you're not going to buy anything and then you walk out with a ton of stuff?
Yeah.
I can think of one store specifically that always happens to me, Costco. Have you guys ever been to a Costco and walked out with way more stuff than you thought you were going to?
Yeah, because
it's bulk. Oh, I need that big.
I need like 2,000 vitamins. Yeah. I need to buy 2,000 all at once. Apple's got their shiz together, and if you ever walk out of there with a brand new iMac, well, it may not be your fault. If you caressed it, if you said something sweet to it, and you fell in love with it in the store, and you felt a strange sense of Eros in your pantaloons.
Had a good time together.
All righty. And with that, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there, eh, guys?
Yeah.
Leander's probably half passed out. He's still jet lagged.
Yeah. Right.
Still there, Leander?
I am.
Yeah. Okay. I heard you snoring. I want to thank Automatic for supporting this episode. Go check out automatic.com/cult. Get 20% off your link adapter. Download the app from the App Store. And in no time, you'll be able to find your car anywhere. Learn how to save fuel based on your actual driving habits and turn off your car's check engine light. That's automatic.com/cult. All right, well, that's all the CoolCast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to tell us about your Mac caressing stories, we would love to hear from you. Leander is L. Caney. I'm at Airfun. Buster's BST3R. Make sure you're following at Cult of Mac for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. This has been the CoolCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CoolCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll caress you guys. Ooh, it's so smooth. Silky smooth. I totally caress the Max. Every time I go in there, I rub them, especially the trackpad, ever so lightly.
Where do you rub it, though?
on the trackpad usually.
Oh, okay.
And I get the chills, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And is that TMI?
Way too much TMI.
Way too much information. Noted.
All right.
Speaking of the show, is L. Kane back?
No.
God. He's online.
Is he?
Uh-huh.
On the Skype?
Yeah.
Oh, try calling him.
Let's call him and see what happens.
It's been a while since I've even seen Lacan in Snapchat.
I know. He's probably back, but he's probably trying to avoid everyone.
Hey.
Oh, he is there.
Oh.
There he is.
I was kind of wondering whether it was going to happen today.
Are you back?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even know you were back. We just called you on a whim. We thought you were still in Italy or something.
Oh, really? No, I just messaged you guys.
That's hilarious. Total whim, we just called you.
Yeah, I saw you were desperate for guests last week.
Right? Yeah.
Talking about Jim and Lewis and even Killian. Did he go on?
We were just trying to get some fresh blood on. No one wanted to do it.
Well, I'll have to bollock him.
I know, seriously. It's like, how easy is it? You just sit there and wait for someone to ask you a question.
Right. You gotta think of witty things to say, though, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you guys don't usually, so.
Hilarious.